Well, we've started to think this morning already about John chapter 10 and verse 9, and that's where we're going to turn in the Bible this morning. We're looking at the I Am sayings of Jesus. There are seven in John's Gospel, and God willing, this evening we'll be looking at I Am the Good Shepherd. But this morning, the verse that Daniel spoke to the children about, John chapter 10, verse 9, page 723 in our church Bibles, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he shall be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The good life in British culture at the moment means living for yourself. The good life is living for pleasure, doing your own thing, owning a home perhaps, having a new car, having a comfortable life. The rich and famous who supposedly enjoy this good life are splashed across the pages of newspapers and media so that we can vicariously enter the lives of others and dream about striking it rich and living the good life ourselves. And what our culture completely misses is what the Lord Jesus Christ talks about in the verses that we heard read for us this morning, about this abundant life. Eternal life, new life, life with God, which the Lord Jesus Christ promises to all who trust and follow him. So what the prosperity gospel does is just baptize materialistic British culture with some Christian labels. That is not what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing here. The abundant life that Jesus Christ speaks about, the good life, is not about living for self and pleasure and collecting stuff in this world. It is all about life with God, being right with God, having a living relationship with God, and a sure hope of eternity spent in the presence of God. And in our text this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ claims to be the door through which you, all who are his sheep, enter by him, to enter into a relationship with God, to have this abundant life. And it's one of the seven I Am statements of Jesus then. And that means that the Lord Jesus Christ's message is about himself. Christianity is not so much about rules or rituals. It's about Jesus, who he is. And the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us this morning that he is the door to salvation. He is the door to eternal life. Most assuredly, he says in verse 7, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Most assuredly is alerting to you to the fact this is something that's very important. And I want to bring four truths from this verse this morning as we think about this saying of Jesus, I am the door. The first is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only door of the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only door of the sheep. In John chapter 10, we have two pictures which are quite similar. In John chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, you have the sheepfold in a village where different shepherds would bring their sheep at night, and there was a hired doorkeeper to guard the entrance. But then there's also a slightly different picture where the shepherd would take his sheep out into the summer pastures and the shepherd would build a protective enclosure for the sheep. Now it's just the shepherd and his own sheep. And the shepherd would build an enclosure. The sheep could go in and out, find protection. And to protect the sheep, particularly at night, the shepherd would lay across the opening that he had built in this protective shelter, so that the sheep were protected by the shepherd himself being the door to the enclosure that he'd made. Some of you know that from time to time I go to Kenya to teach for about a month, once every 2 years. And this picture is still a picture you would see there very commonly. Not so much with sheep, but with goats, young people, teenagers, would cut thorn bushes with big, long thorns in them. And they would cut the bushes and they would build out of the thorn bushes an enclosure at night. They would make sure all the goats were inside the enclosure they'd built out of the thorn bushes. And then that young person would himself lie across the entrance. None of the goats could wander out and nothing could enter in, because the thorn bushes are pretty effective at keeping unwanted visitors out. The only way in is across the body of the shepherd. Now that's the picture that the Lord Jesus Christ is using here. He is the door, he says. And this apparently is a picture that was very common in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. When a shepherd would be asked, "The sheep in the enclosure that you've built, are they perfectly safe?" The shepherd would say, "Yes, they're safe. I am the door." When the light is gone and it's dark at night, all the sheep are inside. The shepherd lies across the space in the enclosure. No sheep can go in and out across the shepherd's body. No wolf can come in unless it crosses over the shepherd's body. I am the door. Now, no prophet, no apostle could make the claim that the Lord Jesus Christ makes here. Only Jesus the Messiah, only the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, can make this claim. I am the door. The Lord Jesus is here claiming to be the exclusive, the only way to God. Just as there was one door into the ark that Noah built, one door into the tabernacle where the people would enter in to know God's presence, so the Lord Jesus is saying, for salvation into God's presence, I am the door. And that is a fact that is emphasized again and again on the pages of the New Testament. So in Ephesians 2 verse 18, we read, through Jesus Christ, we both, Jewish and Gentile believers, have access in one spirit to the Father. How do we come to the Father? Through him. Now I emphasize this because many people today say, well, it's okay for Christians to think Jesus is a door to God. That's fine. Muhammad is a door. Buddha is a door. Nature is a door. Many religions have a door that lead to God. There are many doors. But when you draw a line and say, no, in the Bible, in the words of Jesus Christ, he is the door, the only door. Ah, people say that's intolerant. That's bigoted. But the Bible is very clear. Listen to the apostles' preaching about this way into the presence of God for forgiveness, for eternal life. Nor is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Why do they preach like that? They preach like that because Jesus Christ is the only door. And he's the only door because of who he is. True God, true man, one person, but with two natures, fully God, fully man, the only one who's able to rescue us and bring us into the presence of God. I am the door, says Jesus. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the only door of the sheep. The second thing he says here is that all others claiming to be the door are thieves and robbers. Verse 8, all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is not talking about prophets there like Isaiah, Ezekiel, or Jeremiah. He's referring to those who would prey on the sheep, use them for selfish ends. Especially, Jesus may have been talking about the thieves and the robbers who were standing there before him. The Pharisees, who were not godly shepherds over Israel. They were like the false shepherds that Ezekiel spoke of. This picture of the shepherd, God as a shepherd of his people, is a very common theme in the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verses 1 to 6. In the Old Testament, the prophet Ezekiel speaks about God as shepherd in this way. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Thieves and robbers, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Or Jeremiah puts it like this. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doing, says the Lord. But the Lord says he will regather his flock, and he will raise up a righteous branch for David. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. We need a righteousness from God. Jesus says, I am the door. Here's the way into the presence of God, through the one who is the righteous branch, the one who gives righteousness to his people, the one who saves and rescues. So in John 10 and verse 8, the Lord Jesus repeats the truth that he is stated in verse 5. The true sheep will not hear, will not follow a false shepherd. They persevere, they follow him only. Yes, there is a danger of even the true sheep being led astray by a false shepherd for a while, but says Jesus, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Those who are not the true sheep, says the Apostle John, eventually they wander away, they leave the church of Jesus Christ. John 1 John 2 verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. So the Lord Jesus Christ says that he is the door of the sheep. But all others who claim to be the way to God are thieves and robbers. Now, what are the spiritual implications then of this claim of the Lord Jesus Christ to be the door, an exclusive claim? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ claims here that he provides salvation and safety and sustenance for all who enter through him. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The Lord Jesus Christ is the source of salvation, safety, and sustenance for his sheep. He provides salvation for his sheep. Now, in the sheep illustration here, being saved from predators, the Lord Jesus Christ has the idea of spiritual salvation in that picture. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, rescued, delivered. We use the word saved sometimes, without thinking perhaps how radical an idea this is. It's saying you are not okay on your own. You don't need just a bit of help or encouragement. You need to be saved. You need to be saved when you're hopelessly, helplessly lost. That's what Jesus Christ has come to do, to save, to rescue. Now, you don't need to be rescued if you think you're fine on your own. You're doing well as you are. But when you see yourself who you really are before God, and there's a sense of a spiritual need for forgiveness, cleansing, new life, then you need rescue. And in spiritual terms, the Bible is very clear. Those who are dead in trespasses and sins, children of wrath, he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Yes, is the Bible. It's very sure this morning we need God's intervention. We need a rescuer, a savior. And that's exactly what God did when he sent his one and only Son into this world. Jesus Christ coming to seek and to save lost sinners. When on that cross where Daniel showed us earlier in the children's talk that the door also has within it this picture of Jesus Christ, the rescuer who will die on a cross, bearing our sins and taking the wrath of God for us. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you are like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. I'm saying, have you taken refuge this morning in Jesus Christ as your Saviour, the one who has saved you, rescued you? He is the only source of salvation, says the Bible. No one else can bear God's wrath against sin for us except Jesus Christ, who is both God and man. No one else can pay for our sins like that. You find salvation, rescue, in Jesus Christ, who is the door. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, when you trust in him like that, provides safety for his sheep. The sheep go in and out and find pasture. That's a way of describing a life that's secure. Moses uses this sort of language when he prays, Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. Who will guard the flock? Who will secure them? Who will help them to go in and out and find pasture? Who will bring them to have access into the presence of God? Peter speaks of the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. After Paul's conversion, Barnabas speaks of Paul coming in and going out of Jerusalem. The picture is of access, security, a way into God's presence. Our sin bars us. Our transgressions keep us out. We need a way in. I am the door, says Jesus. If you enter into God's presence through him, here's the one who is both shepherd and door, of course. He provides safety, security, spiritual access. He guards your ways. You can go in and out of the rich pasture lands of God's presence, communion with God, through Jesus Christ, who is the door. And then the Lord Jesus Christ provides sustenance for the sheep. In and out and find pasture, the abundant life here, the soul satisfaction to know that you are right before God, that the Lord is your shepherd, that he cares for you. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Your cup overflows. He goes with you through even the valley of the shadow of death and brings you into the presence of God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is not promising here that the Christian life is always an easy life, where there are no trials, no problems, no difficulties. But he is promising to meet our spiritual needs. And he's saying you must enter in by him who is the door. There was a man called Newell who wrote a commentary on Romans. And he was once asked, how many times had he taught Romans in the days of his ministry. And he said, I've taught the book of Romans 80 times, but the pastures are still green. See what the Lord Jesus is saying here. He will lead you into the presence of God and lead you into green pastures through his word, by his spirit, promising spiritual sustenance and help to his people. And you notice here that the Lord Jesus Christ's blessings are for any who will enter in through him. All who will enter in through him. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, young, old, rich, poor, black, white, whatever your background, whatever your politics, whatever your circumstances, if anyone enters by me, says Jesus Christ. So the invitation is open to anyone and everyone, to you this morning, but you must enter through Jesus Christ the door. And he's saying any other way to try to enter in is illegitimate. How do you enter this door then? Well, that's the theme of John's gospel. John wrote what he writes here, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. As many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Perhaps John's most famous verse, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So to enter through the Lord Jesus Christ means to believe upon him as the Christ, the Son of God, the one who died for your sins and was raised from the dead. And the Bible is challenging all of us this morning to say, have you done that? Have you entered this door? Have you put in your trust in Jesus Christ as the only hope for eternal life? Now some think, well, perhaps I'll do that someday. But I want to take my time, see what this world offers, live for myself first. Later on, perhaps, I'll enter in through this door. That is a serious mistake, the Bible warns us. Because today is the acceptable day for salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Enter in through the door. The Lord Jesus Christ then promises salvation, safety, and sustenance to all. Anyone. No one here can say this morning, I'm not able to enter in. You are, says Jesus Christ. Come as just as you are. Enter in. If anyone enters by me, he shall be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The fourth thing we see here is that the Lord Jesus Christ promised for his sheep is abundant life. Verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So there are two ways to live your life according to Jesus. You can live for yourself. You can pursue this world. You can think that you'll find satisfaction living for yourself in this world. Or you enter in through the door and you seek after God to satisfy your life. And this world, under the dominion of Satan, who is a thief, will rob, will kill, and ultimately will destroy your soul. Some of you know I've been away for a little while, and I've been in a very cold part of northern Norway. I was finding out there that in an area used to be called Lapland. It's called a different name now. But the people there had a very interesting way of killing wolves. They would take a sharp, very sharp knife, dip it in seal fat, and then plant the blade in snow, and then pack ice around the blade to keep it secure, with the blade pointing up in the snow. And they would put it in an area where they knew wolves were likely to be passing by. And a wolf would come and would smell the seal fat. And the Laplanders knew that wolves love seal fat. And they would sniff out and find the knife. And then the wolf would begin to lick the knife. And as the wolf licked the knife, the wolf would taste blood. But it was his own blood. But a wolf loves the taste of blood. So the wolf licks more and more and more on a blade that's been put upright like this in the snow until the wolf eventually kills himself. What he thought was living, what he could taste, was actually killing him. Jesus saying, you live for this world and its sinful pleasures and you just live for yourself. And that's just what it's like. The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come, says Jesus, that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Real life, new life, spiritual life that begins now and lasts for all eternity is found only in Jesus Christ, the door. Sometimes when people ask me about the books to help them read the Bible, usually the first book I think about is Matthew Henry's commentary on the Bible. And Matthew Henry's commentary on the Bible has been an invaluable help to many Christians over many years. Matthew Henry died at the age of 52. He was relatively young. As he was dying, he said this to his friend. You have been used to take notice of the sayings of dying men. This is mine, that a life spent in the service of God and in communion with him is the most comfortable and pleasant life that one can live in the present world. The best life, says Matthew Henry. The good life. The best life, says Jesus Christ, the good life. Is in service of and in communion with the living God. Don't make the wrong choice this morning. Sometimes an indication that people are taking a wrong decision is that they're not truthful with themselves about the way that they're living. Sometimes as human beings, we are too proud to admit that the way we are living might just be wrong. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, don't make that mistake spiritually. I am the door, says Jesus. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Now, if you haven't entered by him, you are not saved. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The world will do all it can to keep you from going through the door, which is Jesus Christ. Your sin, your pride, the pressure of our culture will all try to keep you from this door. But when you come and you enter through the door, which is Jesus Christ, you gain things which the eye has not seen nor ear heard, has not entered even into the heart of men and women, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Ask a Christian here this morning, what has it been like since entering in through Jesus Christ, who is the door? Ah, says the Christian, Jesus Christ has given me life and has given life that is more abundant. I wish I had come to know this abundant life sooner than I did. But trusting in Jesus Christ is the most important, the most precious, the most wonderful thing in all the world. He is the door. Enter by him. And Jesus Christ here this morning is bringing us by his word and by the Holy Spirit this great invitation. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning for Jesus Christ, the door. We thank you if anyone here this morning prays in his, her heart comes to you through Jesus Christ saying, Lord, I want to enter in through this door. I want to be a Christian. I want to live in a new way for Jesus Christ. I want to be saved. Cleanse me, rescue me, save me. We thank you that no one is turned away who comes to you like that. Jesus Christ is the door by him we enter in to know salvation. Going in and out, finding pasture. What a wonder it is for us this morning, those who are believers, that Jesus Christ, the door, has brought us into this new life, communion with God, and that living for God and serving him is the most blessed, the most precious, the most comfortable thing in all the world. So grant us to know your continuing grace this morning. We thank you for this ever-open door of mercy, that all who enter in shall find a Father's welcome and pardon for their sin. The past will be forgotten, present joys begin, future grace promised, a glorious crown in heaven. So, Lord, we give you praise and thanks this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to sing a closing hymn. It's not in our hymn book. It's from the praise hymn book. It's a hymn linked to this theme of Jesus Christ being the door. Well, precious words that Jesus said, behold, I am the door, and all who enter in by me have life forevermore. So we'll stand to sing. Pray then. Father, we praise you this morning that we enter in by Jesus Christ, who is the door. By him we find full salvation, full and free to all, anyone who will enter in. We praise you for the blessings of your grace and ask now, Lord, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide on each one of us and all the people of God, both this day and even forevermore. Amen.